Well, let me welcome back Kevin Lucco here on Systematically Wild. And Kevin, man, we're going to jump back to Iowa Wild hockey. We're going to start here tonight because, boy, those Iowa Wildites, we'll call them, are really rolling here over the last few days.
No doubt. It was quite a weekend for the youngsters in Des Moines, man. It was good to see. You know, they had a very, very good crowd on their Saturday night game, which featured a country music concert afterwards, over 12,000 fans. And I'm glad they performed as well as they did for them because, you know what, they watched that and sure, maybe they were there for the music, but, you know, you see a game like that and you think, hey, you know what, maybe we should start going to games more regularly. So, but you can't argue with the results. You know, you get a good road win in Milwaukee and then you sweep a pair against a divisional foe with Manitoba. So, very successful week for the Iowa Wild.
Absolutely. Increased their five-game winning streak now. The club is at, scored at least five, at least four goals in all five of these games. Had five in three of the five contests. And this team is really starting to catch fire here, and it's exciting to see. And, you know, it's very interesting, you know, I'm thinking here, Kevin, because I'm looking at, okay, incredible January, had a terrible February, now having an incredible March, I'm thinking, man, I hope this pattern doesn't continue because April is playoff time, and I hate to see this team all of a sudden go down in April. But, you know, I think if you're an opponent, this is the kind of team you just absolutely hate in the playoffs because you just don't know what you're going to expect out of them, and you're thinking, man, this team could be abysmal and we stomp them out in the first round, or they catch fire and then we can't touch them. So, whoever they face, I think, is going to really dread that Iowa was their playoff opponent, regardless of what round it's in.
I think you make a good point there. I was just thinking of that little roll they've been on lately, and that was roller coaster would be the adage I was coming up to with when I thought about it. Just look at the season as a whole, how slow they started, then they picked it up, then they lagged, picked up, lagged, and now they're riding high again, and you hope that they can maintain this for a while. At least get a, you know, that the way that division shakes up, you want to try to get top three. You want to try to stay out of that four versus five play-in series, if at all possible. So, and I think they got some wood to chop yet to try to catch Manitoba, but, you know, taking two straight from them over the weekend was a good start to that.
Yeah, Manitoba, I think, heads to Rockford this week, too. So, get a little help from the Ice Hogs, maybe. Well, let's look at Wednesday night's game, first of all. Or Tuesday night, excuse me. They go to Milwaukee, as you mentioned, come away with a 5-3 victory. Team jumps out to a 4-0 lead before Milwaukee scores three goals in the third period, including that third one with a little less than 2 minutes left in the contest. But Stephen Fogarty closes it out with an empty net tally. Sammy Walker, who had been slumping a little bit, two goals in that game. They get solid goaltending out of Zane McIntyre, who stops 27 shots. At Milwaukee, that's a great way to start your week, you got to look at.
How many times have we seen that with Milwaukee, though, where you jump out to what you think is a really comfortable lead, and then all of a sudden here come the Admirals? It just seems like no matter the season, they have that supreme confidence that in their own building that they can string some goals together and get right back into games. And you know, when they did make it, when they did get the three in a row, you're thinking, oh, God, here we go again. But luckily, Fogarty was able to pot the empty netter with 23 seconds left to clinch it for Iowa. Could have very well been Sammy Walker's swan song for now with Iowa, as he was called up to Minnesota after the unfortunate injury to Kirill Kaprizov, which we'll touch upon a little later. But, you know, the guy I was, Michael Milne, got his fourth goal of the season, and it looks like he's been skating a bit with Marco Rossi lately. And Milne was is a young player yet. He's just out of junior, so you like to see someone like that keep getting better at the AHL level and hopefully become an impact player as either you get closer to the playoffs or even into next season.
Yeah, the week continued good for him, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. But the team then comes home, has two against Manitoba, and it became the Adam Beckman show this weekend, Kevin, as he scores two goals on Saturday and two on Sunday. Fantastic performance for him, five-point weekend for Adam Beckman. As you're talking about Sammy Walker moving up there to the NHL club, they're needing somebody to step up, and Beckman has really been playing well lately for this club.
What did I hear? I think it's like 8 goals in the last 10 games or just something insane.
Yes.
That.
You are right.
I've always liked him. I mean, the guy's never seen a shot that he's passed up. And I know with his chances that he's had with Minnesota, he's carried that same mentality too. And I think eventually that's going to pay off well for him at the NHL level. But boy, right now they're just riding his hot streak at the AHL level.
So he scores the first goal on Saturday night's contest, makes a great play at the blue line, heading the opposite direction on a partial breakaway that he tucks a nice backhander in for the goal. His 20th of the season at that point, he winds up capping off the scoring with an empty net tally. Iowa with two power play goals in that contest. You get a solid performance out of Jesper Wallstedt, who stops 20 shots in the contest. As you mentioned, Marco Rossi had two assists in the game. So did Nick Batan, had two assists in the contest. You're looking for your stars to come up big, and that looked like that's exactly what they got on Saturday.
That's it, good. They held, then they only had 19 shots, but they also held Manitoba to 22. He had solid goaltending and only gave up 22 shots. You gotta like your chances more times than not.
Sunday, another 4-2 victory. Two more power play goals for the team. Marco Rossi and Adam Beckman are the guys who score all four goals in the game. This time it's Zane McIntyre getting the start. He stops 24 shots, his fourth straight victory for the club. They get three total points from Beckman, 3 points for Joe Hicketts, who had a nice weekend as well, with 4 points over the two contests. And the one thing I'm just happy to see for this club, I feel like this is an integral part of their success right now, Kevin, is they needed better performance out of their defense beyond Dakota Mermis and Joe Hicketts early on. I feel like they're getting a much more well-rounded performance out of this group of six, and I think that's why this offense has looked better.
It seems like a young guy like Damon Hunt has made himself a little more noticeable on the ice. I know I don't get to watch as many games as I'd like, but and I know Hunt has also struggled with his health this year, but I think if you start noticing him on ice, that's a good sign. Ryan O'Rourke, another guy that I know they have high hopes for the future, Simon Johansson. So, you know, it's a young decor, so, and it takes the vets like Joe Hicketts and Turner Ottenfright to stir things up a bit at times, and of course, kill the Mermis. So, you know, it's a good combo of youth and experience. So, like you said, it's good to see them getting the job done in their own end.
The Iowa Wild moved to 65 points, 28, 22, and 9. They are 4 points behind the Manitoba Moose, 2 points ahead of the Rockford Ice Hogs right now. As Kevin and I speak here, they will have a big series where they travel out on Wednesday night to take on Coachella Valley for two games on Wednesday and Friday, then travel on to San Diego for a game on Saturday, and on Tuesday they stay in San Diego. So big West Coast trip. Coachella Valley and San Diego are San Diego having a very difficult season, but Coachella Valley's look very good. These Firebirds are a pretty solid club, but they played well against them when the Firebirds were in Iowa. So a big challenge, but an opportunity to, you know, to get some points out here.
And let's remember how testy those games were with Coachella Valley back in Des Moines, too. So it'll be interesting to see if the bad blood carries over to the two games out on the West Coast.
Yeah, that was interesting because they'd never played each other before, but they acted like they were bitter rivals of one another. Well, let's jump down to the Iowa Heartlanders, Kevin, as they take a tough loss on last week Wednesday as the Cincinnati Cyclones come to town and get a 7-0 shutout, but nice rebound over the weekend. 5-2 victory over Indy on Friday. Saturday, take a 5-3 victory over the Kalamazoo Wings. two home victories and a kind of disappointing crowd that looked like looking out there on TV where they were at. But, you know, team looked like they're, you know, getting some momentum going for themselves.
And, you know, sometimes with teams, you hit the lowest before you start rising up. And it looks like that's all this week played out. The 7-rip shutout at home had to definitely be a low point. But then they 901 fans on Wednesday night. So I guess you're going to get beat that bad. Try to have as few people on hand to see it in person, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. On Friday, though, big comeback victory for them. Tied at 2. They score the final 3 goals of the game late in the third period, starting with Matt Hannawall, I think is the way that's said, with his first goal since joining the club on 12:46. Then they just roll from there. Zach White and Yuki Miura each add goals in the final few minutes there to give them a nice 5-2 victory. Hunter Jones, with a solid performance, stops 22 of 24 shots. Nice to see Hunter not having to face 38 or 40 shots to get a victory out of this. So good performance defensively by the club. They get a power play goal. That was White's 14th of the season on the power play. You know, Indy is a team that looks like they're, you know, have some playoff aspirations out there, third place in this division. And, that, you know, when you beat a team like that at home, you know, you got to take some real positives out of that, that you're knocking off a team like Indy.
I forget where I read or I heard, but it sounds like Indy kind of took a bit of a beating at the trade deadline. Reason being was Chicago unloaded some guys, which caused call-ups to Chicago from Rockford, which caused some guys from Indy to get called up to Rockford. And that probably leaves your ECHL team a little weaker than it had been in the past. So they may have caught Indy at the right time.
Hey, we'll take it, though. Kalamazoo gets knocked out 5-3 on Saturday. It is a 2-1 Kalamazoo lead coming out of the first period, but Zach White comes up after a goal on Friday, comes up with 2 in the second period on Saturday, giving the team the lead first on a power play, his second straight game with a power play goal. Nicholas Cardelli, in his first professional game, comes up with a goal as well, scoring 4:09 into the third. Kalamazoo is able to cut the deficit to 1, but an insurance goal by Tommy Paratino seals the victory for them. Another solid performance, this time by Dorian Hansen. He saves, that's the wrong one. I want to say Dorian Hansen, but no, it was Hunter Jones. I knew it was what it was supposed to be. Hunter Jones with 18 saves in the game. Better defensive performance. You know, if I'm going to take anything out of this, nice 5 goals in each of those games, and that's fantastic. But I thought the team is playing better in front of their goaltending, not giving up shots in the slot areas, circle to circle. They're doing a better job on their side of their zone. They're not letting their Jones just get hammered on each night. And I think the defensive push that this coaching staff is putting in place is really starting to have its impact, Kevin.
It is, and I you know, you have to be encouraged too. You look at the box scores, especially Saturday night, last two periods, they outshot Kalamazoo 25-14 and outscored them 4-1. So they're finishing games strong, and I think that bodes well for the future. And right now, you know, you get to that time of year where NCAA teams are finishing their seasons, and now they're going to take some chances with picking up some guys that are just concluding their college careers and hoping that they find a diamond or up here and there to build upon for next season.
Well, we didn't really talk much about Wednesday's game against Cincinnati, and as we said, 7-0 was the loss. They travel to Cincinnati on Friday and Saturday, and right now these Cyclones are just ridiculously good. 13-0-2 in their last 15 games. That would be an even more impressive streak if it wasn't for the fact that Toledo is 17-0-1 in their last 18. Okay, so the top two teams in this division right now are just ridiculously hot. Okay, so it's a tough division to be in for sure, and you're going to go to Cincinnati on Friday and Saturday. It could get brutal. Then you travel on to Kalamazoo, a team that you've had some recent success with. You talk about this a lot, Kevin, about wanting to be better than your previous game. I think you go to Cincinnati and you just say to yourself, hey, we want to look like we can stand up to a team that's playing well. We may not come away with a win out of this, But we want to show these Cyclones that that 7-0 game was a complete fluke, and we're not going to put up with that in these contests.
I think you're right. I think, I mean, sure, you go and want to win the game, but you know that your odds are pretty slim. But go into it and make it tough for them. Make them go out and earn that victory. And, you know, if you play that well against teams like Cincinnati, you can bring that game to when you're playing a team that's closer to your talent level. It's just going to make you a better team in the end.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and it's good to see some guys starting to get some points up there. And Zach White now up to 16 goals. We were talking last week. It's that at that point, I think the team leader on the team was 14. We're starting to see some higher numbers in goal production. White could be a guy that comes away with 22 maybe this season goals, which is not a great high number for a club, but considering where they were at, I feel like we're starting to see some better offensive production. And trade deadline is in a few days. I'm interested to see if White is a guy that some teams might look at.
Yeah, that's a possibility, and if that came to fruition, it'd be good for him if he got picked up by a team that's got playoff aspirations. So always good to see guys get a chance to try to play for a championship. So we'll see what the Heartlanders decide to do.
Team heads into this week 15-30-13. They are 7 points behind Kalamazoo for sixth place in the division. Well, let's jump to the big club, Kevin. A 2-0-2 week for the Minnesota Wild. That keeps them 1 point behind Dallas for the top record in the Central Division, 5 points ahead of Winnipeg. And your thoughts overall, first of all, on the 2-0-2 week?
It was an interesting week. I probably say that every week nowadays, but you had such an emotional game on Tuesday night with Calgary that you thought you won in overtime. You didn't. You end up losing a heartbreaker in a shootout. Go to Winnipeg, you play a solid game, but then you lose your best player for 3 to 4 weeks. Go to San Jose, first game without your best player, and you manage to put some pucks in the net and win somewhat easily. But then lose a tough one on Sunday night against an Arizona team that you think you wouldn't have that much trouble with. So it was an interesting week that's for sure. But I think they played well enough where you think that they probably will be all right even without Kaprizov not coming back to like the last week of the season.
Did you feel like the performance against Arizona on Sunday was a little bit of a back-to-back game, gave the Coyotes a little bit extra oomph over that the Wild didn't have?
I felt like the Coyotes had a little bit more energy, and I think they had more prime scoring chances. And Philip Gustafson really didn't seem like he was on his game. There was a few leakers that he let by that lately, you know, that he would have stopped. So it may have just been a bad combo. Maybe they had a little too much fun on Saturday enjoying the Arizona weather. Who knows? But at least they did manage to get a point out of it. So
I thought it was pretty impressive. Two back-to-back nights this week. You know, you had Calgary on Tuesday, Winnipeg on Wednesday. Then you go at San Jose on Saturday, at Arizona on Sunday. You usually don't see that. I mean, am I wrong? You don't usually see back-to-back games like that in the same week. I thought that was kind of an oddity.
Yeah, it can be. And, you know, Minnesota, I think, has generally been pretty lucky when it's come to having some stretches of games this year. But, that's where it's nice to have a goalie that's been playing out of his head for quite a while with Gustafson, and then Hall of Fame goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury that can go out and pretty much steal you a game, because frankly, the Wild deserve to win against Calgary. They probably didn't deserve to win against Winnipeg, but Fleury went out and won the game for them, and the offense was just opportunistic when they had to be.
Well, they have one other back-to-back this weekend at home, but as Kevin was talking about, we'll come back to that in a minute, as Kevin was talking about, 1-0 loss in a shootout to Calgary on Tuesday. Great play by Gustafson, stops 26 shots in that contest. And Wednesday, they travel on to Winnipeg, come away with a 4-2 victory. Nice, well-rounded performance by the club. As Kevin mentioned, Kaprizov, hurt in that contest, is out for a little while here. Let's talk about that for just a moment, Kevin. The team made a significant number of trades to improve the club. Man, those trades are looking even more important right now. It looks like if they can get through the first round, that they got to feel that their chances are a lot better because of those trades.
I think so. I think they went for some guys with experience and addressed some needs and a power forward that gets involved in games with Sundquist. And the thing with I'm drawing a blank on the other forward.
Did they acquire
Johansson? Yes. Johansson. The thing I noticed in watching the games over the weekend, I don't remember him being as fast when he was with Minnesota in 2020-2021 as he was when I was watching him play a couple games over the weekend. I don't know if it's just because he's completely healthy. He had health problems with the Wild when he did play for him previously. But, boy, I really noticed his speed, and I just think that speed and the skill up front is just going to – you don't replace a Kaprizov, but I think it's an offense that can generate more of the greasy kind of goals that you're going to need if you're going to win these tough games down the stretch and into the playoffs. You know, the game of inches on Tuesday night, we thought the Wild had won the game on a overtime goal by Jared Spurgeon, but Spurgeon accidentally barely brought himself offside to start the play and he got called back. So, you know, it could have easily been a 3-0 in 1 week when you think about that.
Well, they get a goal and an assist from Marcus Foligno on Wednesday night in the victory on Friday. Am I on Friday right here? I am. I'm on Friday.
Saturday.
No, I'm on Saturday. My apologies. Okay, on Saturday, go to San Jose, 5-2 victory. The Sharks are just abysmal at home. That's just embarrassing. But as you talked about, Johansson comes up with a goal and an assist in that contest. They jump out to a 3-1 lead. San Jose is able to continually come back and make this a little bit of a close contest. But Matt Zuccarello with a goal at 11 minutes into the third period on a power play goal. Matt Boldy gets his 18th of the season to seal off the victory. Marc-Andre Fleury, 35 saves in the game. Solid performance against a team you might look at this and go, well, okay, it's San Jose, but that's a team you got to go out and beat. And especially after you just lost your star player, there could be a big letdown. I thought a 5-2 victory shows a lot of spunk by this team.
And considering, you know, you're talking about the goal scorers, Marcus Foligno's a guy they need to get scoring. Matt Zuccarello had been in a bit of a dry stretch. You could see him get some goals. Matt Boldy, another dry stretch. You know, those guys, those kind of guys are going to have to be the guys that are going to pick up the slack while Kaprizov is gone.
On Sunday, Arizona takes two early one-goal leads in this contest before Minnesota is able to jump back, and not only tie with that, but then jump out to a 4-2 lead. Unfortunately, Brett Ritchie scores with a little over 1 minute left in the second to pull them within one, and then Clayton Keller delivers not only the tying goal in the third, but the game winner for the club in overtime. As you talked about, Gustafson with a little bit of a tough outing out there, stopping maybe 18 of 23 shots. They do get some scoring across the board. Our good buddy Mason Shaw gets two assists in that contest. Connor Dewar with a goal and an assist for Iowa Wild fans out there. So they are getting kind of a group of guys to come together and pick up the slack right now. And at this time of the year, boy, you need everybody delivering. So if you take anything away from that 5-4 loss, Kevin, I guess it's that you're getting production from a lot of different guys.
And don't forget, Ryan Reeves had the Gordie Howe hat trick, goal, assist, and a fight. So the fight he was in, it was the young guy for the Coyotes, Amama, I believe is his last name. And you can tell that he's going to be a Ryan Reeves-like player in this league, but just not right now. He went for the big punch against Reeves, lost his balance, and Reeves, being the pro he was, just kind of wrapped him up and ended the fight right there when he could have landed some blows on him. But Reeves will tell you that it wasn't even a fight. But, you know, it was a Gordie Howe hat trick for Reeves. And, you know, can't stress it enough down the stretch. You know, if you're getting a goal scoring for your fourth line, that is a huge bonus. And it just makes Dean Evason believe that, hey, you know what, I can have these guys on the ice at important times of the game, and they might even chip in a goal here and there.
Minnesota 38-21-8. They are 7-0-3 in their last 10. Staying on the road this week originally as they take on the St. Louis Blues on Wednesday, then come home for back-to-back games against Boston and Washington. Boston reached 50 victories in this season faster than any team in NHL history. They were the fastest to 100 points in NHL history. This is a very tough Bruins team. I understand Minnesota's always been traditionally good, but, you know, man, no easy games this week at all, Kevin.
No, it's not. I mean, St. Louis is struggling mightily, and you may say they've even thrown the towel in if you go by what they gave up at the trade deadline, but St. Louis has always been a difficult place for Minnesota to go in and get points. Boston at home, on paper, it doesn't look good, but when you look at it on Sunday afternoon, Detroit hosted Boston and got a win, so it's not at all impossible, and Washington is kind of lacking some of the firepower that they've had in the past, too. So on paper, yes, it looks tough, but I guess that would just be another measuring stick for this Wild team.
Well, Kevin, we're at gut check time for this team without their star player out here to close out the season. There's a lot of talent on this club still. So what's the Kevin Lucco thought or the story that we're going to share to close out tonight's show?
Well, I think with this situation, Colorado went through it earlier this year when they were missing Nathan MacKinnon, they were missing Gabriel Landeskog four times. Every team's got to go through it at some point. Is it optimal that it's happening right now? Well, optimal would be that it would never happen. But this is pro sports we're talking about. Say what you want about the play that happened. Seems like it was a pretty clumsy play by the Winnipeg player, and he may be answering to somebody when Winnipeg comes to town in April. But, you know, this is what makes a team. If you have to overcome adversity, it's a chance for other guys to step up. And, you know, I was doing the computing for the playoffs, and the Wild just pretty much, just to get in the playoffs, all they're going to have to, I think Winnipeg or Calgary was the next team that could catch them. That's all the playoffs right now. They would have to go undefeated, and the Wild would have to go 500 to make the playoffs. And when you look at it in that way, I think, barring a major slump, that Minnesota should be comfortably into the playoffs. Then you get Kaprizov back, and if he's healthy, well, look at that. Your star player's well-rested, so you'll have a rested superstar going into the playoffs, and you'll have guys that maybe have a little more confidence because they've had more of a chance to play with Kaprizov out. So let's look at the positives on that front. Defensively, Jonas Brodin will be back at some point, so you got your main defenseman back in the mix, and you hope that Sunday night was just a blip in the radar for the goaltending, and that Gustafson and Fleury will still be giving the Wild the kind of performance that they've been used to, the point streak they've been in. So, yeah, it's there's a lot of reasons to be positive about this hockey club right now, and let's hope that it stays that way.
That's a great thought for this week, Kevin. Thanks for joining us this week, Kevin.
My pleasure.